Acting in God's stead, Adam and Eve were given a probation in which to return to their allegiance, and in this plan of benevolence all their posterity were embraced. After the fall, Christ became Adam's instructor. He acted in God's stead toward humanity, saving the race from immediate death. He took upon him the work of mediator between God and man. In the fullness of time he was to be revealed in human form. He was to take his position at the head of humanity by taking the nature but not the sinfulness of man. Faith in the blood of Christ, God is approached through Jesus Christ, the mediator, the only way through which he forgives sins. God cannot forgive sins at the expense of his justice, his holiness, and his truth. But he does forgive sins, and that fully. There are no sins he will not forgive in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the sinner's only hope, and if he rests here in sincere faith, he is sure of pardon and that full and free. There is only one channel, and that is accessible to all, and through that channel a rich and abundant forgiveness awaits the penitent, contrite soul, and the darkest sins are forgiven. These lessons were taught to the chosen people of God thousands of years ago, and repeated in various symbols and figures, that the work of truth might be riveted in every heart, that without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. The great lesson embodied in the sacrifice of every bleeding victim, impressed in every ceremony, inculcated by God Himself, was that through the blood of Christ alone is forgiveness of sins. Yet how many carry the galling yoke, and how few feel the force of this truth and act upon it personally, and derive the blessings they might receive through a perfect faith in the blood of the Lamb of God. Justice demanded the sufferings of man, but Christ rendered the sufferings of a God. He needed no atonement of suffering for himself, all his sufferings were for us, all his merits and holiness were open to fallen man, presented as a gift. Christ, the one true mediator, our great high priest, completed the sacrificial offering of himself when he suffered without the gate. Then a perfect atonement was made for the sins of the people. Jesus is our advocate, our high priest, our intercessor. Our present position, therefore, is like that of the Israelites, standing in the outer court, waiting and looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Type met antitype in the death of Christ, the Lamb slain for the sins of the world. The great high priest has made the only sacrifice that will be of any value. The incense that is offered now by men, the masses that are said for the deliverance of souls from purgatory, are not of the least avail with God. All the altars and sacrifices, the traditions and inventions whereby men hope to earn salvation are fallacies. No sacrifices are to be offered without, for the great high priest is performing his work in the holy place. No prince or monarch dare venture within the holy enclosure. In his intercession as our advocate, Christ needs no man's virtue, no man's intercession. Christ is the only sin-bearer, the only sin-offering. Prayer and confession are to be offered only to him who has entered once for all into the holy place. Christ has declared, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He will save to the uttermost all who come to him in faith. He ever liveth to make intercession for us." This makes of no avail the offering of Mass, one of the falsehoods of Romanism. The so-called intercession of the saints is the greatest falsehood that can be invented. Priests and rulers have no right to interpose between Christ and the souls for whom he has died, as though invested with the Savior's attributes, and able to pardon transgression and sin. They themselves are sinners. They are only human. One day they will see that their deceptive doctrines have led to crimes of every stripe and type, to adultery, robbery, falsehood. They are responsible for many terrible wrongs which men have perpetrated upon their fellow men. For all this, the judge of the whole earth will call them to account at his bar. The case of every soul that has been imprisoned, every human being that has been tortured, has been noted. The recording angel has sustained the martyrs who would not worship idols, or allow their minds and consciences to become the instruments of men who were instigated by Satan to perform wicked deeds. These things are done under the rule of the man of sin, who has placed himself as God, sitting in the temple of God, and taking upon himself the prerogatives of God, that he may carry out his own schemes. The mightiest human being, whatever may be his claim, is not infinite. He cannot understand infinity. Christ plainly stated, "No man knoweth the Son, but the Father." A teacher was once endeavoring to present the exaltation of God, when a voice was heard, saying, "We cannot as yet understand who he is." The teacher nobly replied, "Were I able fully to set forth God, I should either be a God myself, or God himself would cease to be God." It is written in the prophets, "And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me not through confessionals or priests or popes, but through me, your Savior. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." This is the absolute Godhead. The mightiest created intellect cannot comprehend him, words from the most eloquent tongue fail to describe him. Silence is eloquence. Christ represented his Father to the world, and he represents before God the chosen ones in whom he has restored the moral image of God. They are his heritage. To them he says, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. No man knoweth the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." No priest, no religionist, can reveal the Father to any son or daughter of Adam. Men have only one advocate, one intercessor, who is able to pardon transgression. Shall not our hearts swell with gratitude to him who gave Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins? Think deeply upon the love the Father has manifested in our behalf, the love that he has expressed for us. We cannot measure this love. Measurement there is none. We can only point to Calvary, to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It is an infinite sacrifice. Can we comprehend and measure infinity? Here we see the great intercessor presenting his petition to his Father. No middleman comes between the sinner and Christ. No dead prophet, no buried saint is seen. Christ himself is our advocate. All that the Father is to his Son, he is to those whom his Son in his humanity represented. In every line of his work, Christ acted as a representative of the Father. He lived as our substitute and surety. He labored as he would have his followers labor, unselfishly appreciating the value of every human being for whom he suffered and died. Twice a representative, Christ is the representative of God to man and the representative of man to God. He came to this world as man's substitute and surety, and he is fully able to save all who repent and return to their allegiance. Because of his righteousness, he is able to place man on vantage ground. Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. He gave his precious, innocent life to save guilty human beings from eternal ruin, that through faith in him they might stand guiltless before the throne of God. Why only one mediator, Jesus alone, could give security to God, for he was equal to God. He alone could be a mediator between God and man, for he possessed divinity and humanity. A golden chain fastened to God's throne, the intercession of Christ is as a golden chain fastened to the throne of God. He has turned the merit of his sacrifice into prayer. Jesus prays, and by prayer succeeds. The truth as it is in Jesus, if we teach the truth according to our own ways, we shall see that there will not always be perfect harmony as there should be. But if we teach the truth as it is in Jesus, we shall teach it in the spirit of the true educator, and we will not have various opinions, and cling to our own ideas with tenacity, but we will see eye to eye. And while we thus teach, believing that Jesus will help us to present the truth as it is in him, then we may expect his help, and we will have it. See.